whistle along at home. Go ahead. I dare you. I got my fucking phone and my glasses in my pocket like Grandpa. Welcome back, everybody. Glad you can make it. The Anthony Cumia Show, of course. Usually my guest host, or not, or my permanent host, not my guest host, my permanent host, of course, would be Dave Landau. Dave is on assignment in Las Vegas, Nevada, uncovering the prostitution rings going on out there. And he'll be back with his full report exclusively here on Compound Media. My eyebrows going. But today, just such a special guest, Greg Opie Hughes is here. Did I get anybody with that? Are people home going, bleh, 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 bleh. No, it's not Greg Opie Hughes.
Yeah, he's going back to Sirius.
He's going back to Sirius. That's what I heard. There's been so much speculation. I haven't really addressed it here on this show because I just didn't know what was going on. And for the most part, unless it's something really kind of funny or something I can rag him about, I don't really talk much about Greg, the Opster. But we've been wondering what's been going on because for the past... It's been months, to tell you the truth. We've been hearing little rumors that he's not with Westwood One anymore, which I promoted ad nauseum here on my program. Anytime Opie's name came up, I said, he's been doing a podcast on Westwood One. But so we were hearing things behind the scenes. We have people in every fucking place that broadcasts anything that give us information about things. And... it was looking like Greg wasn't with Westwood One anymore. Well, it's been confirmed that I guess it was a year in April. Is that when he signed? It was a year in April, I think, that he signed up. And they had a contract. And I'm assuming the contract ran out and he wasn't re-signed. He actually said on his Twitter, he blocked me on Twitter. He blocked my parody account. Anthony Cumia CPM is my parody account on Twitter. This guy's hilarious. It's almost like I'm actually tweeting. It's the most accurate parody account I've ever seen. Anytime I read it, I'm like, it seems like I wrote that. So, you know, since I've been kicked off of Twitter, I highly recommend going to my parody account and checking that out. It actually got a response from Tom Arnold last night. Tom Arnold now follows my parody account because I ragged him last night. We got into a quick little exchange, and that was about it. Is there any way to pull that up? The first tweet, I don't think he liked it. A lot of people did. The parody account has, I think, just about 13,000 followers, which isn't bad for a couple of weeks. Especially since I started from literally scratch, or my parody guy started from scratch. But yeah, it's been going well, and the tweets are well received. I'm very happy, and I get to retweet some of my favorite friends that have blocked me over the course of the years with other accounts that I had. William Shatner, for instance. I follow William Shatner, and I remind him very subtly that he was on a show called Star Trek. Every fucking tweet. I have to make sure that happens. A good friend of mine also, Mr. Chuck Yeager, the man who first broke the sound barrier back in the 40s. He loves my tweets and my questions about World War II and only World War II. It's so much fun. So here's my exchange last night with Tom Arnold. I wrote, one of these actors died 6 years ago today. Still believe in God? And of course, we have the brilliant, talented, and gone way too early, James Gandolfini and Tom Arnold. Some people suggested this was a trick question because there's only one actor up there. So it could have very possibly been a trick question. And then he writes me back with something that doesn't even really make sense. If you were this funny, you'd still have a radio show. If I was that funny, but I am that funny. I posted that. Well, my parody guy. I sent it to my parody guy. Okay, jigs up. Didn't mean anything by that. Yeah, so he wrote that. So I responded, how was Kinnison's sloppy seconds? Because I like going right to the atom bombs. Of course, Sam Kinnison, as we all remember, fucked Roseanne back in what they called the day. And it was before he got Roseanne. So tasting that Kinnison cock right there. And then just a couple of other exchanges. Tom Arnold said, heart, James Gandolfini, a little prayer thing. I agree. At least there's something we could agree on. So we just went back and forth a little like that. And then he, yeah, and I said, I come home one day and the house is empty. I mean, completely empty. She even took the ice cube trays out of the freezer. What kind of sick bitch takes the ice cube trays out of the freezer? One of his great lines. One of his great lines from True Lies. So now we're pals. We follow each other on Twitter, which means in this day and age, that means a great relationship. So that happened. But Opie doesn't want to follow my parody account. I never even tweeted him. I never even tweeted the Opster. He immediately blocked it. Opie's doing something these days where he's spiritual Zen Opie now. He's like, dude, the hate's going to get you nowhere, man. Man, he became the man. Hey, man. So, you know, and whatever gets you through. I'm no critic of whatever people do to get through their lives and what have you. That's fine. And it seems like he's trying to put a lot of the negativity behind him because as a member of the Opie and Anthony show, after that ended, he took some severe abuse from the fans. We all did. I mean, it's like the children of divorce striking back at their parents. So me, Jimmy, Opie, we all took some pretty crazy abuse from former fans and what have you. Opie really took it, and I guess he went to a better place. He goes to therapy. He talks about it. I'm not telling tales out of school here. He goes to therapy a lot, and I guess that helped him. But he's this whole, like, dude, he likes giving out little words of wisdom. He's very open about his feelings, which sometimes comes off a little, bitchy. He wrote a tweet the other day. Oh, he doesn't follow me, like he blocked me, but I have my other account. I have that other account that I've had that is quite possibly the most heinous, racist, sexist, misogynistic, Islamophobic, just crazy account that I will never fess up to and never put my name on or anything. But it's out there. But with that one follows Opie. So I see what he tweets. And he tweeted, I guess he did an RIP to the podcast show where he kind of thanks everybody and has some guests on. And that one guy, Joe Salvia, is that his name? He was the producer, the guy that went, the Opie Radio Podcast. So he's that guy. And he was talking, he was tweeting something about him. And it's like, Joe, I'm so happy to have you in my life. It was like, so like, ick. It was very, is this it? Joey, I'm so happy to have you in my life. Not working with you on this podcast is a huge loss, but more importantly, I made a friend for life. Thanks for believing me and my wacky ideas. A friend for life. Hey, Opie, how about making a friend for a week and you start there?
It says right there, though we haven't met face to face, but you have a friend for life?
It's like those people on, you ever watch Catfish? And yeah. They've been having a relationship for 5 years or something. And then the Catfish guy asks, so when you met and talked, they go, no, we've never met. So they never met face to face. This is one of those futuristic relationships where you just talk on we talked on a video phone. It's amazing. It's like the future. I hear they're going to have video phones by 1972. So that's what one of his bestest friends ever, he never met. Although I worked with him and never went to his house. So maybe there is something to be said there. Not like he ever took it in a bad way that I ever went to his house. But, yeah, so he said that he accomplished pretty much all he could with Westwood One. Now, I don't even know what that entails. Did he? I mean, you went there, you had your microphone and recorder, and then you went out and did the... I don't know. It seems like there could have been other things to do. How about the show in the studio at Westwood One? How about doing more of those with people sitting so we could hear it? I don't know. It just seemed like an odd thing. But, of course, the ever-mysterious Greg Opie Hughes has said that this isn't an ending. It's a new beginning. He's working on things. Things are in the works. So all that mystery and intrigue, I don't know. And I guess, like you said, Ron Bennington has been saying shit, but Ronnie is such a shit fucking talker and what have you. So people are speculating, is he going back to SiriusXM?
The thing, like, the rumor was Ronnie just whistled the Opie theme.
Oh, right.
But the Opie theme is the Opie and Anthony
theme.
The
Opie and Anthony.
So he was probably suggesting Opie and Anthony were coming back.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
People took it.
That ain't happening, kids. For many reasons. But I can assure you, if you're betting on that, pull back your bet. Pull it on back, because you're destined to lose. Yeah, so Ronnie, you know, Ronnie's always a shit spreader and stuff. It's hilarious. But, yeah, I don't, I see the Reverend Bob Levy sooner getting back in that building than myself or Greg Opie Hughes. We are all persona non grata at the security desk at the SiriusXM building. There are literally pictures of us up that we are not allowed to go in, like an Old West post office, like the telegraph station. We are not allowed in the building. I don't know why I'm not. I was allowed in there at some point, and then they just pulled the plug on me. I was doing Jimmy's show at the time when DePaula was on up there. I was doing his show, Bonfire, you know, whatever. And then they just pulled the plug on me again, wouldn't let me back in. The Opster was suing them. He took a picture of one of their employees taking a shit in the bathroom. He's not coming back. He ain't coming back. The only people that might have a chance are anybody in Howard's camp. Like, they let Artie come back up and shit like that. But they'd sooner let murderers into the building. Oh, wait, they have. Yeah. They have. That's called Shade 45. Shade 45, people. So again, we wish Greg Opie Hughes only the best in his future endeavors, whatever mysterious things that might be. I don't know what that entails, but I don't know. It's tough. It's just tough. And he's tried to shed the filth of being Opie and Anthony. And start something new and different, which is great. That's a great thing. I don't think his execution was very good. I don't think he really poured himself into it. And whatever the reasoning is there, maybe he thought this was an opportunity to spend more time with his family or fishing or whatever Opie wants to do, and maybe not concentrate so much on the work aspect of his life. That would make sense, but then you're really not going to accomplish much. You at least have to, at the beginning maybe, really just concentrate on one thing. And it didn't seem like he really put a lot of effort into the Opie Radio podcast. It doesn't seem like he put a lot of effort into it. I think I put too much effort into this. Actually, I told people to put a lot of effort into it. That's what I do. I sit home and play video games, and I tell people, please, put a lot of effort into this. And I pay them to do that. And we ended up going from my show in my basement with the equipment run by me to this. I look around sometimes and go, what the fuck was I thinking? I'm dealing with the likes of a Kevin Brennan now? I love Kevin. He's a good egg. And Gino Bisconti, who rushed in here and forced me to drink whiskey yesterday. I didn't even stop after that. Oh, my buddy Joe Curry came over last night for sleepover. He didn't want to drive all the way out to his house out in Suffolk County because he's got shit to do in Nassau. So he's like, drop by and crash at your house. I'm like, yeah, sure. So then, you know, 2 a.m., we're still drinking rum and cokes and watching Mannix. Two men drinking and watching Mannix. So I woke up a little fuzzy this morning. But, you know, that's how I roll anyway. But, yeah, I don't know what Greg's reasoning was for not putting 100% into it. I know Opie. I've seen dedicated Opie. There was a time... I guess it was the time I was cheating on my wife with my girlfriend when we were at NEW. And it was the same time we were trying to put out a CD. Yes, kids, they were called CDs back then. And we were trying to put out a CD. So we needed all these bits and they had to be edited and arranged in order. Yeah, there was a lot of work to do to just take your raw shit from that you did on the radio, bits and whatnot, and put them on a CD to be released. Cover art, all that shit. So I would go before the show, I would leave my wife's house, mine and my wife's house, early, saying I had to work on the CD. But meanwhile, I was just working on the C with my D. So technically, I wasn't lying. I was fucking that C with my D. And so I would do that and then show up for the radio show. And in the meantime, Opie was putting the CD together. And he was driven, you know, he was there early doing that. So I've seen the guy when he's highly motivated to do things. And it just didn't seem like he had that with this iteration of a radio show. Or a podcast, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, he just didn't have that drive behind it, and it was noticeable. I mean, you could listen to, and I've read comments about his shows from fans that thought it was the greatest thing, and that's fucking awesome, you know? Like, wow, Opie, this is cool. It's something I've never seen from you before. He would emote a lot. I think there was actually crying. Could have been crying on the show, but you know. It's sensitive stuff. You talk about family issues and, you know, family members that have been lost and things like that. It's sensitive shit. But, you know, it's very hard, like I said, to wash off the stink of Opie and Anthony. You will always be looked at as the shock jock. I think you have to really go through one of those born-again Christian transformations, maybe. Isn't that the kind of people that get away with that shit? They just kind of go, well, I'm born again Christian now. And you, it's like the Prestige. He's living his act. That's what you got to do. You have to go out and go to church and do all the things. And then you get home and go, fuck, this sucks. Hate being born again guy. But that's, I think, the only way you're going to wash the stench of O&A off of you. We were shock jocks. We did a lot of sexual bits and material. We were mean and nasty to people. things we said were very, it could be considered racist or sexist, at the least, very sexist. We treated women as sexual objects. And you can't just all of a sudden not do that and everyone will think you're, you know, a great guy. Regardless if you are or not, people just aren't going to think that. So it doesn't come off as genuine, you know? And I think that was part of his problem. I don't think he knew exactly what he wanted to do. And I also had that theory that I think Opie is intimidated by a lot of people, a lot of people that are doing well. And there are a lot of podcasts out there doing well. And I think Opie believes if he had a podcast in a studio that brought guests in and they just had a playful, funny banter, that he would be compared to these other podcasts. And then people would go, wow, Joe Rogan is so much better than him, or this guy or that guy, whatever it is. Chip Chipperson is awesome, and this guy doesn't quite have it. So I think Opie decided to do something that was so out of the realm of your typical podcast, not because it's this original idea, but because it's not similar and can't be compared and critiqued as a podcast. Get what I'm saying here? Do you? Anyway, I think that was a big part of it, too. So we just put together this weird thing that never really got off the ground and no one could really connect to. It would be like once a week, twice a week, sometimes three. You got to be pretty consistent in what you do. And I don't know, he could have done a 5-day a week, do it, or 4 days, like we do here. Do a 4-day a week thing, an hour even. You do an hour. 4 days a week. And I think it would that consistency would get people on board. I'm teaching Opie how to do radio, by the way, podcast. But yeah, we wish him well. And we'll see what the mysterious Greg Opie Hughes comes up with next. I predict a long summer of very little content. I think it's going to be a lot of fishing out in the Hamptons, things like that. So enjoy. That's my statement on Greg Opie Hughes, which we'll put up on YouTube, and it'll get so many fucking hits. So many hits. Did you see the little conference me and Kevin Brennan had on YouTube? Fucking massive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Took that clip.
Yeah.
And like Kevin said, put it on YouTube. You put these other shows on. Where am I? Okay, Kevin. Someone put up a clip yesterday when I came running in to get Kevin to give Kevin $400 because he has to feed his family. He needs money. He's got to feed his family. People pointed out how flustered and scared he was. How many people attack him on a daily basis where he actually jumped? Do you have the clip? It's really funny. I came running in and he looks and really thought he was going to be attacked. I've never attacked anyone.
I give them 2 shows a month extra, and they still fucking sign up. I'm not saying they're dumb. I'm saying I fucking appreciate them, you know?
$3 is nothing.
No, that's what I'm saying. Whoa, whoa. Oh, <what is it? laughs>
He's like, whoa, whoa. He really thought I was going to jump over the console and beat the living shit out of him or something. I don't know.
Two hosts today asked me how much money you gave him, and they thought he pocketed it.
It was $400. I was just going to let him have it, and then we were going to not pay him, you know, through the proper channels. But then he made it rain on the floor with them, and then E-Rock ran in and picked him up.
Yeah, yeah.
E-Rock, oh, he knows which side his his bread is heavily buttered on. Oh, E-Rock. Yeah, like he's like, what the fuck? I love the E-Rock. Is Josh coming at what time is Josh? Is he here?
We're still waiting.
Oh, still waiting?
Yeah.
Is he a guy that might show up late or?
He used to be on Jay Thomas all the time, like calling in usually, but
yeah,
he was good with that. He was a prompt guy.
Well, it's Jay Thomas.
And this was the Chelsea Handler years when he was huge. When
he was, okay.
When he was like, you know, touring all the time with Joe Coy's and all those people.
The Joe Coy. Yeah, yeah. All those successful people. I hear you. All right. Well, we'll have Josh Wolf in when he gets here. In the meantime, there's plenty to banter about. The Iran thing is, I don't know. I honestly am starting to believe, Jesse Ventura, that, the military industrial complex, the dark government agents, what do they call it? The deep state?
Yeah.
Yeah. The deep state, wants a war. I think they just want war. A war has to be going on. Our war is getting really old. It's over 18 years old. It's, you know, if you have a war where it started and someone's born and they're then able to be in that war, that's a long fucking war. Imagine a mother gives birth to a child back there in 2001 and goes, well, thank God this thing will be over by the time you get old enough. And then it's not over. So America's we need a new war so we could put a bunch of that new shit out there, get some new weapons to pay for and buy and sell and things like that. So I guess we picked Iran again because they're, you know, they're the evil people. We like them being evil. They've been evil for quite some time. I want to play something for you kids out there that don't understand how far back this shit goes. This is a song. I won't tell you when it was written, but with all the news today, this could be very relevant today. Here's a little song about Iran. Here we go.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran.
Bomb, Iran.
Gonna throw some rocks, tell the Ayatollah, gonna put you in a box, bomb Iran.
Remember this?
Really,
all right. Oh, wait.
Sam's getting pretty hot. Time to turn Iran into a parking lot.
All right. Yeah, that's good. Iraq, you are the king of the parody.
Ugh. This was done in the early 90s for the first Gulf War, where the morning shows had Bomb Iraq.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the same exact thing, and there would be set Kuwaiti free or your country's history, Bomb Iraq. It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, the same
thing.
Fucking thing. That song right there that you heard was 1980. That was after the Iran hostage crisis. And, Bomb Iran was a thing in the 80s. And just fucking nuts that it's still going on. That it's still fucking going on. I found some old buttons online. The fuck Iran with Mickey Mouse giving the finger.
Did it have the Ayatollah with the bullseye?
With the bullseye Ayatollah. Yeah. I tweeted the button with Mickey Mouse, so you might be able to pull that up. But that was it was a huge thing. Like we've hated Iran forever. They're a go-to. If we need some kind of military kerfuffle, there it is. That's not a new button. That shit's from 1980. Crazy, right? The more things change, the more they stay the same. So Iran, they fucked around with a ship, an oil tanker, and then we got mad. And I guess we've been flying these drones overhead to keep an eye on them. And they shot one of our drones out of the sky yesterday. Do you have a story on that or a picture or video? I think there was something like a still pic of the drone falling out of the sky. Yeah, that's one of them. So that thing, you know, there's no people in there, but that looks kind of expensive. That looks a little expensive. Big jet engine. So, you know, we keep an eye on things. How much is it? 100 million?
120. I always said where, but I kept seeing 120.
More than $100 million each. Just blown up. $100 million. So who's that dude? He looks like somebody that did it.
Iran's Revolutionary Guard Commander General Hussein Salami.
Fuck, wait a minute. Hold on. Fucking Colonel Cold Cuts. General Salami. That's hilarious. Fucking General Pork Chops. I don't know. So they blew this thing up and Trump tweeted, Iran made a big mistake, which I don't know. You know how much, Trump loves and respects, Israel and, Bibi. He loves, Bibi. Now Israel is known to reciprocate whenever they get bombed or any kind of military action against Israel, they will get out there and start dropping some bombs. I think Trump is going to want to show that he doesn't take any guff. I'm not talking a full-fledged, you know, let's bomb Iran. But he'll probably take out something, you know, as a reciprocation. Meanwhile, you got to think, if an Iranian drone was flying over the U.S., I think we'd shoot it down. Got to be honest here. Can't just be one-sided. So, you know, I don't blame him for taking a pot shot at it. We're kind of looking at him. But it kind of puts Trump in a weird place. If he doesn't do something, it looks like he's backing down. If he does do something, it looks like he wants a war. So, I don't know. Maybe a little smack on the back of the head.
Well, I don't. It's up 65,000 feet. Can it take, just look to the left a little and just take a picture of Iran?
From the border?
Yeah. What's the difference?
From Iraq or something? Yeah. 65,000 feet and they hit it?
That's what also is questionable. They had something that went higher to drop a bomb.
Russian things got pretty good range these days. You used to be able to fly outside the... They even had that shit. They shot down a U-2 spy plane. Bono's flying it. Fuck yeah.
We have a little video of Iran condemning it or something.
Oh, good. Their rally sucks.
Uh-oh.
Is this Captain Hammond Swiss? I understood that word. And will be destroyed. Didn't even have a pilot in it. Relax. We'll kick your ass. We'll send, you know. How about we detach the cameras and throw a couple of Hellfires on that fucker? Now we'll see what happens. Thing was unarmed, you dummy. Respect the territorial integrity. Oh my God, listen to this fucking... Look, they got little lights up there, it's like Vegas. They are a gaudy bunch, aren't they? Oh! Look who's on the telephone. Calling from Las Vegas, Mr. Dave Landau. How are you, sir?
Good. How about you?
All great. You are missed here at Compound Media on the Anthony Cumia Show with Dave Landau. You're missed, but I'm sure you're having a stellar time out there.
I am. Funny, and it's fun, and that's about it.
How are the shows?
I suck so bad at gambling. They're fucking awesome, man. We've had a ton of people that have come out from Compound that are Compound fans, and
awesome.
Really fucking cool, man. Like, really good audience numbers.
That's very, very cool indeed. And what about the gambling? You have been? Have you played some cards?
I've played some cards, and then Allie came and hung out last night, and we went and played some slots, and I won $380, and then I lost $200. So it's pretty awesome.
That never happens.
No, it's always steady. I always win. I fucking suck.
Yeah, actually, by never happens. By never happens, I mean you usually lose it all.
Yeah, that's of course. It's fucking worse.
That's amazing. I can't even imagine you sitting there like an old lady, fucking putting money in a slot machine.
I think if I go farther than that, I'll get too addicted. But then again, I'm sitting there like a fucking chimpanzee, putting in money endlessly.
Next to ladies on the Little Rascal scooter with the oxygen tank on it?
Oh, yeah, with no legs. And it's like, do you feel lucky?
Yeah, yeah. I think luck isn't your strong suit if you're sitting there on a Little Rascal scooter with oxygen and no legs. But they love the buffet.
Oh, they do. They love the free buffet.
They love
because
that.
Yeah, they already lost their feet to diabetes, so they can eat whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, they go to the dessert cart and have a field day there. Is Brad there this week? Did you see Brad?
Brad might be coming in this weekend. He's out filming that TV show Single Parents for, I think it's on ABC. I don't know, one of the channels that still exists. Yeah. And, yeah, he's filming that during the week, but I think he's coming out for the weekend to hang out, which will be cool.
Coming out as gay, by the way, people.
Yes,
I think, I don't know if you picked up that code.
Jew.
If you picked up that code. Have you seen any pretty whores or prostitutes?
Yes. Yes. I killed three in my bathtub.
Oh, nice.
And I'm getting ready to transport them over to the desert. I've already dug a hole.
Awesome.
So it's just going to be a quick fill.
I hear there's a lot of holes in the desert. Yeah.
Dude, there's whores every 2 feet. It's serious, especially at the MGM Grand. Like, the entire bar area is just prostitutes.
Yeah, I remember when you walk in, there's that giant lobby area where the check-in is on the right, and there's just prostitutes hanging out in that lobby. It's great.
Yeah, like right by the, and then, yeah, right by the top, you're the one. I'm like, do I look like I pay for sex? Because every one of them bothers me, and it's a self-esteem crusher.
I think you do, is what it is. Do you have the mustache?
I have it growing back, so it's definitely a little scumbaggy, so I definitely look like I could.
But once it comes in, they'll probably leave you alone because they'll think you're a cop.
That's true. Once they smell it, they will think I'm an undercover.
A cop so from, from the 70s that took a time machine.
Yeah, or
how is it? There is literally a Tesla flying around Mars in space with a dummy in the seat. But it's flying right now. There's a car flying through space.
Iran,
they can communicate with it.
Iran can hit a thing 65,000 feet in the air. One shot.
Great point, Garrett. And here we are. A call from Vegas. And it gets dropped. I don't know. I bet that signal doesn't get dropped when they're sucking information about you out of it. I bet that never gets dropped when they want to know where you're shopping and what you're buying and what websites you're visiting. Maybe that's why it drops on calls. They're taking up all the bandwidth with spying on our dumb asses. Well, is he going to call back, you think?
Hopefully, because Josh Wolf, full moon today, so he couldn't come out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
I tried to say something.
Is that some kind of joke? Because I heard people thought you did very well on the Pat's show.
The TBD?
The TBD. What is TBD?
To be determined.
Oh. The TBD. I kind of like the Pat Garrett show.
That's what I was saying.
And you have a logo that has Pat Garrett on it from the guy that, you know, Jesse James, or no, it was Billy the Kid.
Well, that's the whole point of the show, is we build as we go along.
Right.
We had no background, no name, no music or anything.
You just do a show.
Yeah.
That's how easy it is. Opie. Take some notes from Pat Garrett, the great cowboy lawman. But you are, Josh might still show up.
No, he canceled.
Oh, he did cancel. Okay, I was wondering if it was a joke that he canceled.
No.
or not. Did he have a reason? Is he doing Opie's show?
No reason.
He's an Opie fan and didn't like my opening monologue?
Yeah, maybe.
E-Rock, comment? E-Rock?
So, apparently the publicist confirmed yesterday.
He has a publicist?
He has a publicist. Which is always problems.
That's trouble right there.
The publicist confirmed yesterday, but today saying that, there was a miscommunication, which means he didn't want to do the
show. Who is she, and what does she have to do with it?
The publicist.
Miscommunication, I mean.
Ah.
And your gender labeling, I don't like that.
Sorry, I'll use different pronouns.
Say they.
It.
It. That's the truth. Oh, he's back. Well, thank you, E-Rock. He won't be showing up. Is he plunked down? I'll plunk him down. There you go. Dave, you're back.
Okay, yes. Apparently I have shit service.
We were talking about how Iran can shoot down one of our drones at 60,000 feet, yet, you know, a phone call from Vegas, that drops out. Yeah. technology. Tell me they're not bullshitting us.
We can put a people on the moon, but we can't hear anything at a McDonald's drive-thru.
People on the moon. I was just talking to that fucking Elon Musk launched a car into space. It's going to Mars.
Did he really?
Yeah, he put one of his Tesla Roadsters in space with a guy, a dummy in a space suit, in the driver's seat. And right now, it is hurtling through the cosmos towards Mars, and it's really there. It's a red Tesla Roadster he put in space. And Dave Landau gets cut off on his call from Vegas. They talk to it.
That joint joint he smoked with Rogan really got to him, huh?
No
shit. Shooting cuss at Mars.
No shit. So that's there it is. We just put a picture of it up on the screen. It's literally a car in space. Yeah.
So it's the end of Greece without the fag.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't it be great if you found out Elon murdered somebody and then put the body in the spacesuit and launched him so they could never fucking get it? What a brilliant guy. Elon right now is going, oh, fuck, leave it to that asshole to figure it out. Wow.
Exactly. There's not going to be any witnesses on Mars. By the time somebody else figures out how to launch a car up there, he'll be dead for 200 years.
Yeah. That thing crashes into Mars and some Martians just be like, what the fuck is this? It's in their Area 51. Like, we don't understand the life form in here. It won't talk to us. It's just a dummy.
It appears to be some kind of space whore with a throat slit.
Yeah. Tesla. What does that mean? So he's doing that, but we got cut off in Vegas. So it's 3 hours earlier there. What do you have planned for your afternoon before your evening shows? What do you do?
I am going to go eat food and work out, lose some money, and that's going to be about it. It's a pretty exciting life. I do fucking nothing here. I wish I could do anything fun, but I just don't. And outside, it's 110.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to go outside. It's fucking awful.
I think people have this grave misconception if they've never been to Vegas that they're gonna at some point leave the hotel or the casino and go outside. That goes away the second you open that door to the casino and get hit by that fucking oven air.
It's just swamp ass immediately.
Yeah.
And you just turn around and go back inside.
Yeah. We once very early on when I was going out to Vegas, we had to go to a store to pick something up. And it was literally across the street and down the road a little from the hotel. And I was like, we could just walk. We walked out of the hotel and went, fuck that. Get a cab. Literally a block away. And we needed a cab. There was no way. That is crazy, otherworldly hot out there.
Yeah, there's a Walgreens around the corner, and I took a cab there today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quarter mile at best.
No fucking walking around in Vegas. It's deadly. And you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. You're just supposed to stay where you are. Stay within the confines of your hotel. They even have tunnels that connect buildings so you don't have to go outside. It's awesome. I like the MGM. I've stayed there pretty much every time I've gone to Vegas, and it's great. Love that hotel.
Dude, it's awesome. I mean, Brad puts you up in the signature, in a penthouse, which is fucking awesome.
Ooh,
so that might even be why the call drops out. It's 36th floor, high roller suite.
Nice.
He takes care of his comics better than fucking anybody, just because he was a comic. Even when you go into his green room, he used to tour with Sinatra, and then he toured with Sammy Davis Jr. So, the entire room looks like a 1960s, 1950s Vegas showroom, like a cabaret. It's very cool.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. Gotta love it. Jesus Christ, you lucky fuck. I'll be at Skankfest tomorrow, though. And you'll be in Vegas.
I heard. I know. I wish I had this week off to do Skankfest than I had it this week, and I couldn't get out of my contract, although I'm glad that I avoided the drama of this week.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Kevin Brennan, Bill Schultz, Keith, all the drama that took place here last week. But I think it's pretty much sorted out as it can be here. So I think we're okay.
Yeah, no, I think everybody seemed to get what they wanted. I don't know. It's it was interesting to watch from afar. Because I didn't know how to read. I didn't know what to do. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know how to get involved. I don't even know what's going on. So, but I just know we're behind a paywall because we can say the horrible shit that we say, and that makes it fun.
Yeah, that's it. But you know what? Hey, Kevin had some great ideas. Some of the people that I've noticed on Twitter with suggestions for ideas about using YouTube and maybe changing around a few things where we give them the first 7 minutes of a show free. And that, you know, there's plenty of good ideas that we weren't thinking about. And it takes Kevin Brennan, what do you call him? Oh, fucking mental patient. A fucking mental patient. No, sometimes it takes somebody who thinks outside the box.
That's the way to put it.
To think inside outside the box and then scream like a madman at the box. So, no, I think we're good. I'm really psyched about Skankfest. Will Noonan is going to be my my co-host for tomorrow at Skankfest, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Brooklyn. So that should be a lot of fun. You'll be missed.
Yeah, he's great, man. And I really wish I could be there. I'm doing this, but yeah, next year I want to make sure I make it. And yeah, like what you said with the technology and the way everything's changing and the way to get hits and to put stuff on YouTube, like people have to realize this is it's an all new entity. It's a whole new world of technology. And the fact that we're figuring it out the way that we are is pretty cool. So, I mean, just getting more stuff out there, I guess, is an answer, you know? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, it is. And being off of Twitter for as long as I was is detrimental. I don't think people understand the importance of a social media presence, especially on the top platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And thank God my amazingly accurate parody account is up there now, pretty much saying exactly what I would say in every instance on Twitter. It's amazing how accurate the parody account is as to what I would comment on. So it is good to have that presence back and be able to promote things and just kind of have fun throughout the night, goofing on shit, tweeting along, live tweeting with events, or finding some funny photos and goofing on them. So that's an important part. I can't believe Twitter has the ability to cut off someone's ability to promote themselves and put themselves their material out there. It's criminal. Is he there anymore? He got cut off. I was mostly talking to the audience. Do you know that car is still flying around as we speak? That Tesla car is still flying around. Well, Dave will be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM Grand Hotel. So if you're out in Vega, check him out. We love him. He's a very funny guy. At Dave Landau Dave on Twitter and DaveLandau.com for any Dave Landau info. He will also be at our big event at Governor's coming up Friday, June 28th at Governor's Comedy Club in Levittown. All the comics from the compound are going to be there. You could get your tickets at govs.com. Doors open at 5 and the show is at 7. So that's 2 solid hours of drinking before the show even starts. It's going to be nuts. And we're very excited about it. I'm also doing a podcast and a Q&A after the show. So there's going to be a fun night, very eventful, and we're all going to hang out like we're pals. That's how that works. So get your tickets at govs.com. Info is also available right here at compoundmedia.com. Tell your friends, and if you're in the New York area, make it down. We would appreciate having you for that.
Dave says he loves us all. He'll see us on Monday.
Yeah. All good.
Yeah.
All goodly. I got a shitload of stuff to talk about, and now I don't have some son of a bitch interrupting me. Is there a beer? Might as well, right? There's no more beer? I hate when guests say yes when I go, you want a beer? You want a beer? And I'm like, ah, he's a comic. He's probably recovering. He had one beer, and he's fucking raping people. And then they say yes, and then before you know it, there's no beer left. And then I love the staff is very helpful, though. But sometimes they come out with a bottle of fucking, you know, Congo quag beer. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is good for someone that likes Budweiser. Yeah, go out and grab a fucking couple of bottles or a six pack or what the fuck else. I might as well start drinking. It's a solo show. I've been doing this for fucking since I was 18, dude. I know how to do a show. Plenty to talk about. The drag queen thing is out of control. I've been keeping tabs on this on Twitter, other social media, and people are very angry at it. But the second they voice their opinion, they are transphobic. Dragphobic, is that a thing? Here's the deal. Years ago, there were things called drag queens. These are guys. They dress up like girls. They sing Barbra Streisand songs, or they sing fucking Bette Midler. They sing Judy Garland. They dress up like Marilyn. It was way over the top shit. And they'd have the big wigs on and hi, daddy. And they date Jim Norton and things like that. But it was always kind of on the fringes of entertainment. It wasn't a show that anyone would go to. It was weird. Usually relegated to some places like the East Village in New York City, San Francisco, Fire Island out on Long Island. So you'd get these things, these people, drag queens, and they'd put on these shows. And for the most part, they were just left alone. It's kind of goofy. People would make fun of them. But no harm, no foul. Now, they seem to be embracing this child drag thing. Now, if you know anything about this, there's always been a sexualization of this. It's a burlesque show. And burlesque, by a trade, is just it's a sex show. Of varying degrees of, sexuality.
Titillation.
Titillation. Good. Good word. Yeah, so you'd go to one of these, and sometimes it could just be them dancing around, like I said, singing songs. Other times they'd do strip teases, a fan dance or something, and it would be a little more sexualizing and what have you. So now bringing kids into this is just not a good idea. And a lot of people feel this way. But again, if you mention it, you're a piece of shit that is actually saying you should go out and beat people up if they have different sexual beliefs. And that's not the thing. This amounts to a form of child abuse. You're endangering the kid, I think, placing him with a bunch of adults that are putting on some type of sex show. And everyone seems fine with it. And there's more and more showing up. First, there was that Desmond kid who's just a freak of nature. Now it seems like, you know, parents see this and go, yeah, my kid wants to be a drag queen too. Mommy, I don't want to be a shut up and put on your eyelashes. And they go out to clubs. Like, kids shouldn't even be in clubs, regardless of what it is. If there was a fucking... There are places where you could actually get a drink at Disney, and kids don't go in there, and it's fucking Disney. I don't know. Are kids allowed in the bar at Disney? I bet not. I bet they're not even allowed in the Star Wars cantina at the new Star Wars thing at Disney.
Shit looks awesome. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but that looks awesome.
Oh, dude, God, they built Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts. I just can't imagine. Yeah, take your kid there. Let him see the Millennium Falcon and fucking Jabba. Not some goddamn fat fucking address. So, you know, they've been doing this. And I think it's a bad precedent to start setting. And again, I've mentioned how they take one thing, make it more and more ludicrous and ridiculous and dangerous, harmful to kids. And then if you criticize that, you're criticizing the beginning. This was just the drag queen part. They want to go out. They want to dress like a chick, and they want to sing show tunes. fine. And then it goes, well, we want to do this, and we want to go out in the streets half naked, and we want to have pride parade. And then it goes up to, and we want children involved in our sexploits. And then you go, yeah, I don't like children involved in the sexploits. You don't like drag queens? And it's like, no, no, you built this whole thing on that. We were fine up until this height. Then you started getting fucking nuts and dragging kids in on it. And it is sexualization. You can't do that. You just can't do it. And the liberal mentality is just run amok, and they think it's perfectly fine. So, people have been trading barbs back and forth on Twitter. But, again, it goes nowhere. No one's changing anyone's mind ever on Twitter. That's something I learned over the course of my many accounts. Why bother getting into a protracted argument with somebody about race or crime or sexuality or any of that? You're never changing anyone's mind. You're just shouting to the masses that agree with you and disagree. Yeah, there you go. Now, this is fucking mental. Would you ever want your kid near that guy sitting there? Never. Never. And look, the little boy dressed as a little girl now is looking at him like that's wonderful. And then look at the other kid. And what's that? The father and mother? And then the normal kid right there? What a family event. What, do they all go to fucking Applebee's after this? Like, they would just think that's a girl, that kid. Oh, God, what is that? Is that the drag queen? Is it a? It's not a father and son team, is it?
It looks like it.
Does it look like it? Yeah. So a lot of makeup. That's
drag
good.
Queen mentor.
Mentor. So it's not even a dad. A drag queen mentor. I guarantee you this kid is being sexually fucking assaulted by this guy. I guarantee this guy is fucking this kid. I'm reporting it here first on Compound Media News. There. Looks like a regular kid. Cut his hair. And then he'd look like more like a boy. I bet he gets mistaken for a girl a lot. But, you know, that happens. The kids, they don't quite have whiskers yet. But just let him fuck it. You think he wants to do this? You think this kid wants to do this? Is he one of these trans kids? Or does he accept himself as a boy that likes dressing like a girl in drag? I can't keep track anymore.
He's gender non-conforming.
Oh, gender non-conforming.
That's why he wears his sparkly shoes to school.
It's beyond anything. Oh, there you go. Just sprinkle some glitter in your hair. How you get that out?
That never comes out, ever.
That's nuts. That will never come out. I used to talk about going to the strip clubs. And during the late 90s, early 2000s, strippers had this great fucking idea, these dumb bitches, that they were going to have this perfume that they put on that has glitter in it. So they go, tss, tss, and they dance, and you see their cleavage is sparkling and everything. And then they come over and go, you give them some money, and then they go, oh, woo, thank you, to your face. And now you're never getting that off. You're never getting it all off. So you go home to your significant other, and it could be anything. Dark, pitch black bedroom. Maybe just the light of the television is hitting. And it'll hit your face perfectly where a laser beam of I was with a smelly whore goes right into her face. What's that on you? Is that glitter? And then how do you explain that? Oh, yeah, Bob at the office just loves glitter. He was throwing it around like a mad person. At the garage today. It's always a dumb whore with her glitter. Or you could say you were hanging out with a 9-year-old drag queen. She poured it in her hair. I don't know what happened. And then Chris Hansen showed up and I ran and, well, I'm here. So I don't know. It just seems like not a good thing. We'll see where it goes. We'll see how history will eat this shit up. Swallow it or spit it out. I have no idea, but we'll see. Yeah, talking about that Disney thing, the Star Wars thing, it kind of makes you want to go, right? Just to check it out?
One porn star I follow got in or did like a whole tour of it. Yeah, it's amazing. It's like everything you remember from Star Wars, and
It's
full
right.
size.
All real in full size. There's a full size Millennium Falcon in the landing pad base. It's unfucking believable. The Mos Eisley base, the little where they landed and where they took off from when they were getting shot at by stormtroopers. It's amazing. I understand I might be out of the demo as far as what they plan to do there, but maybe not. You know, they know that people my age went to see the original Star Wars in the movie theater, in the theater. We all wore suits and fedoras. It was 1955, 77, I believe it was. And I went in the movie theater. My Uncle Joe took me. I was 16 years old. And it was amazing. I was stunned. I sat there, and that opening scene when the Star Destroyer flies over, and I'm just sitting there, I didn't even know what to think. I lost my fucking mind. I was like, this is already the greatest thing I've ever seen on a screen. And now, that many years later, a half a century, no, not quite, almost, later, they built it, and you could go there. And to me, that's pretty fucking amazing. Melissa Stettin, my ex-girlfriend, she went. She actually went to the opening and is going around because she's with some guy that writes some TV show, I guess. Motherfuckers. Always trying to outdo the last one. I think she took a step down from the Guardians of the Galaxy guy. But it's definitely a step up from me. Shock. She took a big step up. She went from me to fucking James Gunn.
It's hard to go higher than that.
James Gunn. You got two amazingly successful Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And then back down to some guy that does some TV shows. Still better than me.
Yep.
But, you know, she'll always be thinking of that James Gunn guy. All right, let's see what this is all about. God, Jesus Christ.
And to see how it compares to what I had envisioned when I watched all these movies as a kid, as an adult. So I'm going to take you through some of the experiences.
Everything's all
we are going to try aged some of the galactic food.
It's got that wear.
We might make it into the Millennium Falcon. So let's check it out.
It's probably great until you're surrounded by
take
a million other tourists, right?
Right, if you could just go in there and kill them all.
This park, this empty. Honestly,
okay,
kind of cool
right out of the fucking.
Really
you took me right out of it.
Appreciate all the little details.
They should just take these people and dress them up like droids. Like if you get okay, hold on. I got an idea, Disney. If you're listening, any fat fuck that rents a rascal scooter to get around, and there are plenty of them, it's taking you out. You're walking around, you're like, holy shit, it's the Millennium Falcon. Holy shit, look at these dwellings. It's exact. Oh, my God, the bar and everything. And then you look, and this fat fuck is on a little rascal. Have things that you rent out with the little rascal. It goes on top, and all of a sudden, it's just like, and it's rolling around. It's a evaporator coil or something. It's one of those walking gas pump-looking ones. It's a giant R2-D2. Something like that. Something that doesn't take you right out of it because it's the same thing you see at every other fucking place in Disney. Fact
R2 diabetes type 2.
Yeah. R2 diabetes type 2. It's pretty funny, but you'll still catch shit for chiming in.
Yeah, whatever.
Look at him, whatever. People giving you grief.
I don't care, whatever. I'm having fun.
Fuck them. I get you. Don't worry. Just be happy I know your name. Where everybody except Anthony knows your name. Yeah, I would like to go there at some point, but I just went right before. I got to see, under construction. Oh. I was able to look through the wooden thing and go, wow, this looks like it's going to be awesome. And then that's about that. And if a guy my age goes to Disney all that often, I think you get on the FBI list. I think you actually have to wait.
Is this the Cali Disney?
What is that?
Or the Florida Disney?
It's got it. Oh, wait. You know, I know they were building one in Florida when I was there, but I think they also built a California one.
Because the people I've seen in it are from California.
California, yeah. Right? I think that's where Melissa went. It's the same name. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Ah, I'll take some of this. I don't like you. My friend doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
Hmm. And what's this bunch of shit going down here?
Baby series. Absolutely. So we're going to build our R series. So the canister is always a good spot to start.
Is this something to buy?
This is the body.
Do you put together your own droid? Uh-huh. And then you can buy it?
Another one is a
How much
dome.
Money does Disney rake in? It's got to be insane.
You pick out the pieces, you build your own droid, then you take it over to the front, and they put it through this thing where it becomes alive.
Oh!
So now it's alive, and they put it in what looks like the old Pound Puppies container, where it's now alive in this open-air container, and you walk around the park, and the thing's peeking out the container.
Is it yapping
noises.
The whole time?
Sometimes.
Oh, shut up on the lines.
All right, so now that you have your four pieces, we're going to go over to a build station.
Oh, this fucking...
So this is the
I am one of the cast members, and you are our guest. Guests and cast members.
Disney just is making so much money.
This Star Wars move was brilliant. The greatest thing they ever did.
If you ever see the video of when they did the official opening in California,
yeah.
So Bob Iger, the head of Disney, comes out, welcomes everybody, brings out George Lucas, and he just looks fucking miserable. George Lucas
he always looks miserable.
Yeah. So he comes out, this huge event, everyone's ecstatic about it, and George is like, I'm fucking doing Star Wars.
Disney gave him billions.
Yeah, but it's not good enough. He's never happy.
Of course he's never happy. Unless he's fucking up Star Wars.
They bring out Billy Dee Williams, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford.
Wow.
The whole thing. Everyone's going crazy. He punches the Falcon and it's like, start it up, Chewie. And the thing goes.
Oh, my God.
Everyone's happy. And he's just standing there.
Oh, of course.
Sulking in his $4 billion misery.
Because he's probably like, I made American Graffiti, too, you know. You know, I was part of the whole Indiana Jones thing.
Well, at least I have a fifth Indiana Jones coming. I mean, it's not like I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. It's not like I made my entire fortune on Star Wars, and even during the times where I was ruining it with the fucking trilogy, the prequels. You know, I'm a smart guy. And his talk about fans that turned on you. The hardcore Star Wars fans hate George Lucas. They bash the shit out of him constantly. My favorite review show is Red Letter Media. They are brilliantly funny. Just hilariously funny guys. They do a variety of shows at Red Letter Media on YouTube. Some of them are Mr. Plinkett. He hasn't done Plinketts in a while, but it's a character that talks about movies, and he gets words wrong, and he's really funny. What's wrong with your face?
Space Shuttle Endeavor.
Space Shuttle Endeavor. He kind of sounds like that guy. But he's like, he is the hero of the movie, sometimes known as the protagonist. It's so goddamn good. And they haven't done a Plinkett in a while, but they do Half in the Bag. And it's Mike, one of the guys. And who's the other guy? I can't remember his name. Mike is the guy who kind of runs the whole thing. He was the Plinkett voice and everything. And they are goddamn, not only are they funny as fuck, they're dead on with movies. They know movies, and they're very fucking funny. And then they do Best of the Worst.
Jay and Rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Rich. And then they do Best of the Worst, where they spin a wheel with these horrible VHS movies. Then you get to watch a little bit of them watching the movie, and then they go to a table and talk about the movies that they saw. And Macaulay Culkin has been part of a couple of them, and he's really funny with these guys. And they just drink. They're drunk the whole time they're doing it. And they goof on Star Wars fans. They are complete Star Wars fans. But they goof on the really geeky, embarrassing Star Wars fans and the podcasts that they put on about Star Wars. And it's so funny. They were doing something about one of the recent Star Wars movies. And all of them just started saying things like, you'll see things like lightsabers, AT-ATs, the Millennium Falcon. It was so goddamn funny. And the longer it went, the funnier it got. I really like these guys.
I think it was mocking the old sci-fi and Comic-Con ads.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you sit there and it's like, you'll see Chewbacca.
Exactly.
Yeah, Sulu.
Yeah.
All those things.
Horrible. It's great, though. I constantly check back to see if they have new videos. I love those guys. They have older ones with Mr. Plinkett where they do the entire Star Wars prequels. Titanic. He did the Titanic, and it's literally as long as the fucking movie was. And hilarious. Just hilariously funny. So I check them out. Red Letter Media. I would like to actually get them on the show at one point. Because they're really good. I think, what's his name? Rich, right? He's the other guy. I think he said once, my name came up or something. And he was talking about that. And he goes, oh, what are they, shock jocks? Like Opie and Anthony came up. And he goes, shock jocks? Yeah, I don't think I want to hear what that's all about. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't suck when people you like say bad shit about you. It's like, no, I'm not that.
Now you know how it feels when we did it for all those years.
I know, right? Yeah. When we would do fucking Jocktober and shit on shows, like, oh, I'm a fan. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, we were shock jocks. What are you going to do? I'm not going to turn into man and try to convert into non-shock jockery.
Mm-hmm. You see anything with George Lucas, they brought him out to the Star Wars Celebration, which is their own Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And George was there, and they were revealing the trailer for Episode 9 and some other things. And he comes out, and it's a mixed bag in the audience. Says, yeah, George Lucas, fuck this asshole, you know. Boo.
You know what he should
just
do?
Just miserable.
It would be awesome. Just come out as a hologram. Come out as a Star Wars hologram. They did for Ronnie James Dio. Just have it like, and here is George Lucas hologram. It would probably get a better ovation than George fucking Lucas.
Force hologram.
And he's just there in that boot, boot, that kind of help me, Obi-Wan. You're our only hope. Fucking hologram. That'd be awesome. Why doesn't George Lucas do that? He could be sitting at his fucking Skywalker ranch, editing his next piece of shit. And actually be somewhere else.
Do you think it gets to the point, like when Philly threw snowballs at Santa, that the audience just gets to the point wherever George shows up, they're just throwing things at him?
Oh, my God. They throw those fucking round spheres that Luke was training with. They just take those things and lob them at his fucking head. Put down the blast shield. All right. Anyway, it looks great. But what am I going to do? Go out to California to go to Star Wars. If I'm out there doing Rogan's show or something, I might bop down to Anaheim to just check that out.
Garrett has the video from Disneyland if you want to see it.
Oh, let's see. The happiest place on earth. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Bob.
Talk about a chinless wonder.
I'll first say you did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Coming you did a
you,
great job.
A lot.
Well, it could have gone very bad. But it didn't. It's Star Tours on steroids at a level you can't possibly believe.
An on steroids.
And, I'd also like to thank all the Imagineers who, and others here that made this thing possible because it's.
Did he know what he was coming on
to fucking say? Because I worked with the Imagineers a long time ago, and we did, you know, everything was like it was in the olden days where it was very hard to do anything. So now the technology is here. This thing is amazing. It's really,
wow, he really makes it sound
something that you couldn't even dream about.
It's like a ventriloquist.
20 years ago.
This thing is amazing.
I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks for dressing up, George.
It was a great experience for me, and I think that we'll you'll change your life. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm all right. Where's my check?
Thank you.
Where's my check?
See, looking down, he stands off.
Yeah,
to the
yeah.
Side.
Look at him.
He's the only one not
oh
having fun.
Oh my God!
George is a little awestruck because we.
And then he makes an excuse. George is a little awestruck. Is that it?
He had a thought, and it turned into this, and he's not amazed. Like 30 years ago, he had just a thought. Of
just
something.
A thought. Could you imagine something you jot down on a paper? It's like, all right, I got this. It's Star Wars. It's a war in space amongst the stars. I'll have some people, and I'll do this, and here's a rough draft. And then 30 years later, you're like, it's like a fucking religion at this point. What happened?
I got to go out there.
Yeah, now I got to go out because I wrote something fucking 40 years ago.
How great is it to put yourself in his mindset and realize he was so miserable – He's like an actor that when somebody comes up and says, oh, I love you for this part, and you're like, I'm more than that part, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Finally sells it. He's like, oh, $4 billion. This is great. They're not going to do much with it. And now he's seeing that it's worth way more than $4 billion.
Right.
And now he feels like, I fucked up. I got the raw end on this.
Maybe that's it. But I can't understand how you have that much money and still say, wow, I could have squeezed a few more bill out of it. But I guess you do. I guess that's part of it. He fucked up a lot early on. I love the story about the toys, the Star Wars toys. It's just an amazing story of how a toy company made a fortune because they bought the rights to Star Wars for nothing. For nothing. And all they had to come up with was like a certain amount a month to pay off George. And they would reap all the rewards of everything merch-wise that had Star Wars on it.
That toy company did so well, right? And even though it did go out of business at one point,
yeah.
Sold off its assets to another company. And now I think Hasbro has it, or one of the huge toy companies
yeah.
has it, puts their old logo on the toys because that's the only way people are going to buy their things.
Oh, that's fucking great.
So you're making money a second time.
Yeah.
Even though you don't own the company anymore, you just own the rights to it.
They
sell billions more.
They had the rights to the toys before they even knew what Star Wars was. So they just took some of their shitty toys and slapped any Star Wars sticker on it. And there's like a construction helmet with a Star Wars. It's like, oh, it's a space helmet.
Is this a G.I. Joe guy?
Yeah.
They just paint them
yeah,
blue.
They would just take other action figures and be like, but now it's Star Wars. And oh, here's a Tonka truck. Star Wars truck.
And that thing he sold
yeah.
set the foundation for every toy company on how to do an action figure,
right.
A vehicle, any of those
and
things.
And how to make money on,
yeah.
on it. After that first slip up, they didn't fuck up a second time, and all the merch, because there wasn't a toy from movies thing. Oddly enough, there were more TV show toys than movie toys.
Right.
Movies were weird back then because you only saw them once, and then they disappear for fucking years until they showed up in some bastardized version for television. So it wasn't really worthwhile to put out a toy of a movie that's going to be gone in a few months, never to be seen again in some cases. So they would do TV shows because they knew syndication would play these shows. So you get Lost in Space and Star Trek merchandise and things like that. Star Wars was pretty much the first one that really had merch to it and changed that whole game. So and maybe put a smile on Lucas's face once back in the late 70s.
There's a series on Netflix, if you really want to see the detailed history of it, called The Toys That Made Us.
I've seen every single one of them.
The Star Wars episode explains everything about
even the
him
gay
selling-
Barbie one I watched.
him selling all the rights to Kenner, and then
yeah.
them saying like, "Well, how do we make this work?" And then the rest is history.
Yeah, talking to those guys, it's so fucked up because yeah, you know, no one really takes the toys unless you're E-Rock seriously. It's just like, oh, it's toys, I guess, whatever the fuck. And then you realize the work and creativity that goes into it from some of these guys that work there, and they're 60 years old talking about the glory days of working at the toy company. And the cutthroat business it was, and just really cool.
A lot of those people worked for shares in the company.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, and then they're multimillionaires that never have to work again.
Yep.
But do because they love, you know, art design or sculpting or
yeah,
whatever they're doing.
They did very well.
But they all took stock in all these companies and just became so rich.
Yeah.
Over dumb little toys.
Yep, dumb little fucking toys. And E-Rock loves it. Let me take a couple of calls here. I guess we got Steve. Steve, where are you from, my friend?
Hey, Anthony, I'm from actually Nashua, or Nashua, New Hampshire, Lowell.
Fucking
Lowell,
Nashua! I know where Nashua is.
Yeah,
that's the
fucking Lowellkit.
The duct tape capital of the fucking world.
Yes, it is. Anyways, yeah, I was calling. It's actually a pretty decent segue. I actually went to Galaxy's Edge in California last week.
Oh, cool!
And you're talking about the money that can be made and that Lucas has made through all this kind of stuff. They have branded everything, up to the Coca-Cola machines, like the fountain soda machines, are all in, like, the Star Wars, like, language or whatever.
Right.
But the logos are recognizable. You can buy, in one of the droid stores, you can buy a life-size remote control R2-D2 for $25,000.
Jesus.
Like, legitimately.
Like, oh, yeah. Some of their gift shop things go for 25 large.
I'm not kidding.
Holy
yeah,
fuck. That is...
The coolest
is
one, though.
Amazing.
Yep, sorry, go ahead.
No, I would be like, that is amazing.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, the coolest one, though, is the lightsaber shop. Basically, what happens is you get little hints from, like, some of the people walking around as stormtroopers and Kylo Ren and all that kind of crap. They point you to, like, breadcrumbs to, like, a little secret area inside one of these hangars, and it's, like, a secret Jedi lightsaber shop, and there's, like, a whole little show that goes on where you create and build your own lightsaber.
Yeah.
The coolest thing about it, though, is, like, you know, there were men that were inside there, like, literally crying while they were putting together their lightsaber, because at one point you plug it into a table, and it lights up, and then Yoda starts talking over, like, a PA system, and there were men, like, in their 40s crying. It was fantastic. But you can do that all for the low, low price of about $300 all in.
Unfuck-believable. Yeah, look, man. What, are you going to fault them for it? It's amazing.
No.
Yeah, it's not like they're dragging people there. That's amazing.
It's fun, though.
I don't doubt it.
If you got a chance to go, you'd have a great time.
Very cool. Thanks, Steve.
There were some people bringing containers or thermoses because they're selling that blue milk.
Right.
That were just bringing their own containers to the bar so they could take it with them.
To go.
Yeah, to go.
Here's another guy that was there. Let's talk with Scott, who is out there in California. What's up, Scott?
Hey, yeah. Just to echo the last caller saying, it is definitely fun to be in there, but there is some pretty funky shit going on, especially with the characters. So they have people there that are, you know, they're obviously the Disney actors, and it's kind of hard to differentiate who's there visiting and who's there acting, because everyone's dressed in costume, like fanboys and all that shit. But
yeah.
I was talking to one, and I asked them about where all the children were, where all the young Jedis, and they actually made the parallel to the movies where all the young Jedis got massacred. And they said, we can't talk about that. We don't talk about the younglings.
That's pretty dark.
Yeah.
For
and
a Disney thing.
They wouldn't even sell any death sticks, which is another big drag. But
and what about the 4-hour time limit?
Yeah, there was a 4-hour time limit. So basically, you get a – well, I think they just changed it, but it was a reservation. You have to make a reservation to get in to begin with. You have 4 hours, and then they literally will haul your ass out of there if you try to stay longer.
How do they know who's been in there for 4 hours?
I think they have a thing like the restaurants where it's a little thing at your table so they can monitor your time. You know, like when you go to an Outback.
Oh, I get it, but what if you're walking around –
Well, yeah, they find you, they flag you. There's stormtroopers. They actually come up to you and tell you that you have to leave.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
They're kicking people out of this fucking thing. There's so many people that they're kicking people out to get more people in. Holy Jesus Christ.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, thank you, sir, for your input, and thank you for subscribing to this wonderful platform. There he goes. And Zach has something here about Red Letter Media. Zach, my good friend, where do you hail from?
I am in Ithaca, New York.
Ah, a fellow New Yorker. Welcome to the world of licensed illegal aliens.
I was going to tell you that the podcast you were talking about that Red Letter Media does, it's called The Nerd Crew, where essentially they parody all the sycophantic movie reviewers Disney pays to give favorable reviews.
Right. Yeah, that's they were ragging on one group of those guys that were – one guy was pissed off because he didn't get invited to the opening of the Star Wars thing in California. And another guy said, it doesn't matter. You still have to talk about it because I produce this podcast. And the other guy goes, no, I'm not going to talk about it. And the Red Letter guys are just laughing their balls off at these idiots. I couldn't get enough. Just great. Thank you, my friend.
Check out the George Foreskin grill ad they just made. It's like a minute and a half long, but it's really great.
George Foreskin. Okay. I'll check that out on your advice, Zach. Thank you.
Thank you.
Later. Did Red Letter do the George Foreskin grill commercial? They're pretty good. They got, like, good sets. They do their show from a set that looks like it's supposed to be an old VCR repair shop, and they dress in little uniforms of VCR repairmen. All right, let's see Red Letter.
And we're back. With us now is 41-year-old construction worker Rich.
Hi.
Now, Rich, I understand that you still have the foreskin on your penis.
Yeah.
And now that you're an adult, you'd like to have it removed, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're in luck. Have I got the product for you? It's the new George Foreskin Grill. Now, you can do it yourself. Why waste all that money on expensive doctors and medical procedures when you can grill it off? Now, Rich, are you ready to take out your disgusting uncut penis? It's time to show our studio audience just how the George Foreskin Grill works.
Holy shit! What the fuck?
All right, Rich, it's time to grill off that foreskin.
Is this safe?
Here we go. Well, Rich, it's time to take a look at your new penis. Oh, my God.
Holy fuck.
Trover Saves the Universe, out now on PS4 and PC.
Holy shit. Missy's playing that Trover game in VR. It's pretty goddamn funny. It's very filthy.
She's always on the cutting edge of games.
I know. She's playing...
I'm too old for that. I can't keep up with all the new games.
Can't keep up with the new ones. Yeah.
Thank you, Eric.
It's the Rick and Morty guys. Yeah. Put that out, and it's hilarious. If you turn off any kind of censorship on the language, it's hilarious. Like, yeah, you motherfucker. The things call you motherfuckers. And I was like, oh, you hit me in the cock. As you're fighting it, it's talking about how you're hitting it, and ow, stop. It's really it's cool. It's fun to watch somebody play VR games.
They did
reason.
A Rick and Morty commercial for the game.
Yeah.
And it's Rick just shitting all over the game, saying how horrible this is. Did you ask Adult Swim if you could do this? Why do they all sound like us?
Yeah. The game itself shits on you as you're playing it for playing this stupid game. It's really funny. Not one of my kind of games, but yeah, like I said, Garrett said, Missy is all over these fucking new games. Anything that shoots, I'm good with. I'll fucking shoot shit. And I also like, there's a game called Keep Talking or You'll Blow Up. I think, or some.
And Nobody Explodes?
Right, there it is. I knew it was something like that. Keep Talking and No One Explodes. And it's cool because it's a, two people can play.
You play that game 4 days a week.
Yeah, yeah. Keep talking or your subs go down to nothing. Yeah, so one person wears the headset, and you'll see a bomb in there. The other person looks at the monitor and gives you clues. And you have to manipulate this bomb, and they'll read the clues, and it's kind of almost a process of elimination. It's like one of the keys colors will set off the bomb. And then you got to read the next one. I go, the green one won't set off the bomb.
Oh, okay.
The one next to the... And the time is ticking. You're like, come on, read faster. And you have to manipulate the bomb. You're picking it up in this virtual universe and twisting knobs, putting in things, hitting buttons, and cutting wires. That's another one, cutting the right wires. It's pretty cool because two people can play. And it's just kind of a fun puzzle game. I'm a complete nerd with this shit.
Yeah. It looks fun.
I love it. Yeah, and then it'll blow up in your face if you don't get it right. So, kind of fun. But again, I'm into a lot of shooters and things, and they're still pretty glitchy. Pretty glitchy. People are also asking my Twitch videos. I'm putting some of them up on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is OpantXM. Guess when I made that? But it's the one. It's OpantXM is my YouTube channel. And I'm putting some of the stuff up there. And someone was asking, are you playing on PC? Because I noticed you're getting games really fast when I log in and have to get a game going. The room fills up and I play. I'm playing on Xbox because of that. PC, I've always played on PC, but nobody's playing on PC anymore, especially the games I like. I guess they're playing campaign versions of these games, but not the multiplayer versions on PC. So if you, you know, you buy a game and you want the best graphics and the best interface and smooth movement, you'll play these campaign games where you're not playing with anyone else. But then you log into the multiplayer version, no one's there. The rooms are fucking empty. I used to wait to play Blackout or even COD 4 multiplayer. And I'd sit there for 15 minutes to get a game with 60 people in the room. It's supposed to be 100 people. So then I go to Xbox, and it fills up in seconds. Bam, 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 99. Bam, here you go. You're playing a game again. And you know how frustrating it is to suck, get killed immediately, and then have to wait 15 fuck minutes to play the game again? It's frustrating.
You're in timeout. You have to think about what you did.
Yes, it's like timeout. I don't want to think about the last game. I want to forget about it and get going on the next one. So, and then people, of course, talk about, well, how did you go from mouse keyboard to a controller? I don't use the controller, my friend. Controllers are for kids. I'm mouse and keyboard, so I use the cheating apparatus that Garrett has said is absolutely cheating. The Zim Apex, it is called. Pop it up and show it how little it is. It's like, it looks like a little USB thumb drive. These things used to be atrocious. Big, giant, boxy, clunky thing that you had to program. It was almost impossible to program it. Now you do it through the app on your phone, and you could adjust every sensitivity. Isn't it amazing that's what it turned into? Pop up the first Zim, and you'll see how in a matter of no time, they were able to go from what it was to a fucking thumb drive that you use an app on your phone. Every single sensitivity can be adjusted. So at first, you're kind of like, oh, fuck, this doesn't feel like my computer. But you dial it. Yeah, that used to be it. You'd have to plug shit in. It was a pain in the ass. Doesn't it look like Simon Says?
It would connect easily, though, right?
Yes.
It looks like a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass. Yeah, so many things, and it wouldn't work, and the software. This one updates, so if you want to play Battlefield 1 or Battlefield 5, you go to a menu, and it has all the games, and automatically puts the right the right mouse and keyboard keys in. And then you could fine-tune it. If you want your mouse to move faster, more sensitive, you could hot-link your keys and shit. Because I don't use the keyboard. I use a keypad, which is a lot easier. More cheating is what it is. But I tell you, for aim's sake, when I play Battlefield, it's harder when you're playing Blackout because you're really, it's a hunting, a predator-prey game. If someone sees you first, you're at a grave disadvantage, regardless of if you're cheating with a Zim or not. But a game like Battlefield 1, where there's just a shitload of people running around at random, and you're not taken out of the entire game if you get hit. You have to wait. It gets counted as a death on your part in your KD, but you're back in the game pretty quickly. So that isn't as hard, and I fucking destroy people when I play Battlefield 1. I'm always in at least the top 10 or 5 of kills, and Garrett attributes that to my cheating with a Zim. I don't think playing with a mouse and keyboard is cheating. Well, I think some of these bastards are better with a controller than people are with a mouse and keyboard.
If anyone does watch your Twitch feeds, you do get your comeuppance sometimes when you're just walking through and someone snipes you through a window and you just start screaming, "Where was he? Show me where he was!"
Yeah. I walk right out and someone's just standing there. I don't know where they came from. I wasn't even in that garage for long. And I'm like, yeah, I'll pick this up. You know, what I like to do is ba-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, there's a guy that wasn't there 2 seconds ago shooting me in the face. It's wonderful. But I enjoy it. It's what I do. What the fuck do you want from me? I'm going, once I go home tonight, I'll be back on it. I might Twitch a little later. But that's my Twitch. I'm also on Parler, as is Garrett McGinnis. You might know him. Gavin McInnes is on Parler also, because he got kicked off of Twitter. So it's Parler with an E, not Parler with an O, which is something completely different, and it really gets confusing. But apparently Gavin knows the guy from Parler, so he got me, my name was A. Cumia, now it's Anthony Cumia, and I'm verified on Parler. So for whatever that's worth, if I get kicked off of Twitter, you could go there to see where my next account will be. So thank you. Always trying to keep an eye on the technology that's going on. We got this is just an abomination. This is another thing that broadcast companies do. E-Rock, very familiar with this kind of stuff because radio stations do it for years. TV stations do it. And the Today Show has done it. We had, me and Opie had this done to us at WAAF. WAAF was putting on this big documentary thing on their station about the history of AAF, starting out and then hosting a Rolling Stones concert in Worcester, and that kind of put them on the map and all kinds of things. And then during the 90s, not a hint that Opie and Anthony were even part of AAF, and we were literally the most successful show on AAF. So they wiped us out of it. But that's par for the course as far as radio goes. TV, on the other hand, when you have the Today Show, Matt Lauer was there for many, many years. And today, the Today Show, they had a 25-year history montage. Guess who wasn't in it?
Wow, 25 years. Has it really been 25 years? The Plaza was reopened, and it was a big deal, and Bryant and Katie were out there.
Good morning, and welcome to today on a Monday morning. Welcome to Studio 1A.
What I remember most about the window is it was so definitive to the Today Show.
It felt like this return to the past in a way.
See, we're in a big blast-in kind of thing.
They'll go back this far, but they won't show that perverted button-pushing on his desk, Matt Lauer, that locked the door and rape him, Lauer.
All of a sudden, everybody and their brother wanted to be seen on TV.
Hello, my people!
Do they have the girl that showed her tits for our show? Find that if you can.
The crowd is really a cast member.
Are they?
They come out in all kinds of weather.
We're singing in the rain.
Oh, God.
It's 18 degrees out.
It's cold, it's rainy.
Snow.
It's sleeting.
Not a fucking clip of Matt Lauer.
Like, genuinely excited.
It's dishonest.
About seeing us.
Say what you want about him in there either.
What's that?
I don't see Brian Gumbel in there either.
But they did mention Brian. Yeah, they said at the beginning.
For those few moments when you come to the Plaza, we get to see you right back.
It's Stalinist. They erased
things
him from history.
Here, sometimes planned, sometimes not planned.
Orwellian.
Outside?
Wow! Oh, my God. Maxine Waters.
Doing? How are you doing?
I feel good.
Impeach Bonifat!
Oh, my God. I told you.
Oh, Madonna before she became
you
a pirate.
You happen to know somebody here. She's not just your friend. She's your sister.
Sorority sister.
We do this. Delta Lab.
Mrs.
Have you scissored?
Skinny was my fifth grade teacher.
No!
And you're her son?
Yes, sir.
Please send my love.
Love, Dick.
Me saying hello to her that morning meant more than I would ever know because just days before, she'd been diagnosed with Parkinson's. You know, it's not something that I guess I fully appreciate.
And I couldn't read the sign. It was shaking so much.
People come, and when they come,
people come.
They
Matt Lauer.
Can we all say
apparently
happy
birthday,
Molly?
Happy birthday,
Molly! Happy 16th birthday!
Thank yeah! Now you're talking. Oh, mediocre singer. Oh, mediocre fiddle players.
And the Today Show's done such a good job throughout the years of just transforming it into so many magical places.
Magical places. Like the room you can't get out of. It's magic.
Swimming pools.
A beach. A chapel. A zoo.
We've had obstacle courses. Nothing is too big, too difficult, too heavy, too dangerous.
I'm trying to even see if he's in the background of something. They erased him from all existence of this show. What scumbags.
Probably the largest early morning
costume party. It's like when WWE... and forgets a wrestler because they're out of favor.
Right,
with
they're
the
not
company.
In there anymore. Yeah.
You forget Hulk Hogan had anything to do with it.
It is the biggest deal ever.
Yeah.
It seems like every year we try to go bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, bigger.
When Natalie and I dressed up as Laverne and Shirley.
Why is this anything? Why are they?
Can you believe I dressed up as my grandmother?
This is just reminding me how awful this show is.
Name an artist, name a huge star. They came to our plaza.
Roll montage now.
Did I see it?
Nobody writes a concert like the Today Show.
People lined up for blocks and blocks.
They even
and
left
blocks.
Out any artists named
thinking,
Matt.
Is my job to attend a concert? Yeah. This is incredible.
All right, I've had enough.
Any number of causes.
I get it. They have really erased
motivate
them.
Motivate people to action. For good.
That's fucking crazy.
We are teaming up with our friends at Habitat for Humanity.
Is this the wow?
We are going to be building homes.
We can do really big events.
There she is.
We are surrounded by dozens and dozens of incredible survivors.
And look when they come back.
Michelle Obama on the International Day of the
Girl. That was great. She had some nice titties on her. They were pretty ample. Yeah, it was one of our fans decided to go there and just goes, whoop. She was perfect. She got perfect timing. Everyone saw them. The Today Show wowing. Opie would like to forget about that and say it never happened. I think, isn't that what Howard's doing? Is Opie trying to do what Howard did? She had some nice tits, that girl. God damn. I bet they don't look like that anymore. Was this before 9/11? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I bet her towers fell, too. They're a little fucking. Hey, good for her. She was a good egg.
She went by Susie Greenberg, which no one on the show got, but it's a fish song. And everyone thought that really was her name.
Right, right. Well, I did because I wouldn't even know a fish song.
Yeah, I didn't bother explaining it to
Garrett
anyone.
Garrett dangled it in front of me. I wouldn't know a fish song. Well, good for the Today Show showing that they that true communist, Lenin, Stalinist tactic of just erasing someone from their history like he never existed. What's Matt Lauer doing these days? He just hangs out in the Hamptons, right? Fishes with Opie?
I'm looking now, but there was a story recently about some news, you know, some nothing news about him.
How does some people get away with this shit and other people don't? Like, there are people that... Tyrus. Tyrus over Fox News... There was an accusation that he had sexually harassed one of his co-stars on the internet version of their show. And then Fox said, no, that's all taken care of. It was settled. But like, how does that work? He still did it then, right? Did he? But then Matt Lauer is just, oh, yeah, he had the button and he fucked some chick, bent her over the desk. And then he's gone. Oh, maybe NBC has different rules for how you fucking sexually harass women.
The only thing I saw, his divorce was nearly finalized last week. That was
just
big nothing.
Losing everything. Oh, my God. And he's got kids, right?
But it also shows how no talent he has. The show didn't lose anything because he left. No one's clamoring to get him to host
something.
He was just the Ryan Seacrest guy there that didn't offend anybody until he did.
I got to tell you, it is kind of nice when you leave something and it completely just crumbles and goes away. Like, there is something that makes me feel. I feel bad for the people involved in a sense, in a certain way. But there is kind of this make you feel like you're worth something when you leave it and it goes to shit. It's kind of nice. I got to be honest. You know, dude, that kind of hate. You know, the Maharishi Yogi says, man. Child's Play. You remember this movie, Little Chucky, right? The little Chucky doll that come out and kill people. I guess there's a new one. They rebooted that one. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? Is it supposed to be scary? Who's the voice?
We'll have to see.
It's the voice of Chucky. Chucky's a little redhead doll. I think he was supposed to be like a My Buddy doll. Remember that one? My
Ready?
Buddy.
Mark Wherever Hamill.
Mark Hamill. So Luke Skywalker, is he doing his raspy voice? You know, the only one he can do when he does voiceover work? Or else he'll sound like, you know, oh, we got to get these evaporator coils. Uncle Owen! Uncle Owen! Aunt Peru! Aunt Barbecue! Get it? They were burnt up.
This will be the eighth Child Play movie.
Oh, God. Yeah. Enough. Let's see.
Something's wrong with Chucky.
Black people love Child Play. Love the Chucky doll. Motherfucking Chucky. Put him in rap songs. Jump scare. It's behind you. Turn around. Nope, now it's behind you. Jump scare. Where is he? Yeah, he is. He's doing the same voice.
Why are you doing this?
Isn't that the Joker voice?
Are we having fun now?
Cock knocker's voice. You're wrecking everything, kid.
If they don't let us play...
Is it coming out of the TV like the ring? Oh, shit. Look at those little shoes. We know who that is. Oh, it's a little teaser trailer. I was never really into the Chucky movies. Never really did anything for me. I think they're funny. And then they got so crazy with Bride of Chucky and all that shit. Was it Jennifer Tilly? Or Meg Tilly, one of the Tilly sisters.
Jennifer Tilly's in this one.
Fucking tits. Yeah. Jennifer Tilly's in this one, of course. Uh-huh. What's she doing? The fuck is she doing? So, yeah, I was never really into that. Those movies never really... I like a good thriller more than a horror movie. Like anything going around killing somebody. I like some kind of thriller, something a little more cerebral. Than just jump scares. Whatevs. Good luck. Have fun. Maybe a lot of the community will go see it because they like Chucky. They like Chucky. They like John Gotti. What else do they put in rap songs?
So Scarface, many. Obviously.
Right, Scarface is just huge. Fucking Scarface. Wonderful. Oh, now we got horns growing on young people. On their skulls. Is this true or bullshit? Garrett, I look to you for the answer. If this is a true thing.
I immediately thought bullshit.
That's what I thought.
Because the parents that had these kids, they didn't even grow up with cell phones. And they're saying this horn is because it's... But then the article kind of says it's more of like damage that you do from keeping your neck down. And
more a physical thing than an electronic thing that...
And not an evolution where our skull is actually growing horns, but like it's more of a damage buildup.
Is it something like when you leave a tree, a sign next to a tree too long, and eventually our skulls will grow around our phones?
Hopefully.
And we'll just, it'll be like that old bicycle in the woods.
Won't have to hold on to it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so that's it? Because you're putting your head down looking at your phone.
Yeah, and it damages the back of your neck, and then when it heals, it calcifies.
So at some point, we'll have these big fucking cool horns. How cool would that be if that's like a normal thing? It's like, oh.
There had to be some movies that did that, right?
Probably.
Aviator or something?
But not about Yeah, we can't be done evolving yet. I went to the Museum of Natural History and looked at human beings from like millions of years ago. We looked a lot different. We looked downright silly. Dumb monkey faces. We were really short. Long fucking fingers. And then I even looked at the girl version. She had tits. Little tits on her. Squeezed some of those cave girl fucking titties. Yeah, motherfucker. Yeah. Our guest canceled today. So this is what you got. Me hanging with the great crew of Compound Media. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that's all about. Kevin Spacey. Smartphone in Kevin Spacey's sexual assault case is missing. The evidence is missing. Does that what was the evidence? The evidence, I think, is hours of testimony from young men that say he grabbed them, grabbed their cocks. Let's see what else we got. David Ortiz, not the target. His friend was. I can understand that happening. He is a big guy, but kind of a rookie if you talk about a hitman. If he hits the wrong guy. And then the OJ thing. I know we talked about this story, but they're kind of convincing me OJ did do this. I'm kind of convinced that OJ sent that guy an emoji with a knife and said, I'll cut you. And now I'm thinking also, OJ getting drunk, he would do something like that. I think OJ is off the fucking rails when he gets drunk. And he was probably drunk 25 years ago on that night he decided to wax two people. I don't know. It says, man alleged threatened by OJ with knife, emojis, post proof video to confirm. And we've seen the proof video, but more people are saying that it kind of doesn't.
No, he made another one.
Yeah, he made another one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So let's take a look at this one.
Live View requested me to get the beginning of the DM area, direct messages, and pretty much this is the request area. Nothing much there, just a bunch of people. Sorry if I'm outing you on the.
I forgot about the droning on this guy does. Right.
But,
oh my God. I hear he's getting picked up by Westwood One, though, to do a podcast.
Real, man. The direct message is right there. This is what I just sent not too long ago to him. I can click on either the picture or whatever. There's no other tabs open, no URLs, no Photoshop.
All right, he's answering to what people said.
I don't know. I'm going to try to make it wide shot so everyone can see. I mean, I can click here, click there, and it doesn't disappear. I can click on him. Go back. It's still there.
Well, click on OJ.
Go on this
click
guy.
On fucking OJ!
Back. Still there.
Why isn't he clicking on OJ?
I don't know what you guys are wanting me to do for.
I want you to click on OJ. He's right there. You could just put that on top of a.
I don't know who she is.
Oh my God! Who cares about Mary Kay Jacob? Click.
So I don't know.
Click.
A lot of people say click on the picture or whatever. Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you. No! What was everybody else getting? All right,
account.
I fuck this guy in his ass. OJ should kill this guy. He's so fucking annoying. I don't know. Now, see, I was convinced OJ did it. And now this guy's a fucking idiot. What a jack-off. It could have been, he goes, see, this is her. And it was her feed, like her DM from that. Just click on OJ like you did that. What a dope. What a frustrating dope that motherfucker is. Oh, God. Fucking shithead. No, that's an old story. Of that. Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins is a piece of shit. He's that guru. You know, he's the guy that's going to teach you how to live your life and be confident and do all that shit. And there's been allegations against him for sexual improprieties with some of his female clientele. So Tony Robbins now punishes followers by making them drink unidentified brown liquid designated to have a lasting effect. Is this what came out of that woman's ass on the fucking subway that we watched yesterday? The unidentified brown liquid. That was identified. It was shit. Video and internal documents reviewed by BuzzFeed reveal that Robbins placed L stickers on audience members' foreheads, and then while the song Loser by Beck plays over the speakers, forced them to down a gross shot whose contents he does not disclose to them. By the way, can we say he's... These people are paying to get in and do this? This isn't something, Tony Robbins isn't abducting people off the street and forcing them to do this. They're paying to, and probably signing 1,000 waivers and agreements that he could do whatever the fuck he wants to them. And they are free to walk out anytime they want.
Every story that comes out about him is Tony Robbins played mind games on people. And it's like, yeah,
that's the whole
that's his
gimmick.
Job is to trick you into being successful or whatever.
Right. It's this little trick. And then by the end of it, you're like, oh, that showed me that this is this. And that's what he does.
Like, what was the other one? He called people racist things.
Right.
But that was just another.
Again, another one of his strategies to take their money and put it in his pocket.
It's a total. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I think it's all a scam. You get enough weak-minded people in a room, you'll convince them of anything. And if you tell them you just showed them how to be successful in life, they will dish over a lot of cash. Why don't we do that? Why don't we have compound fucking, like, life coach?
Like motivational speaker time.
Motivational speaking. Yes. Oh, Kevin Brennan could be one of the instructors. You're an idiot. You're fucking stupid. Drink this. It's my piss. I need the money. I got to feed my family. So, the practice is part of a pattern in which the embattled self-help superstar. Is he embattled? The guy's fucking smiling every time you see him. He's making a fortune. His house is obscene.
Well, BuzzFeed's going after him, so they think he is.
Well, BuzzFeed, ooh. Yeah. While they're not breaking stories, important stories like this, they're doing, what Jedi are you? On Twitter. Ooh. Go thumb through this fucking ton of spam, and we'll tell you what movie star you are. What a fucking shitty hack dick fuck site BuzzFeed is. Fuck BuzzFeed. One former staffer told BuzzFeed News that BuzzFeed News, please. We're reporting this here on Compound News. I could say it, too. I could fucking say it. Compound News. Compound News! I'm a reporter, fuck ye! I always felt that this was highly inappropriate. Oh, deliberately led to the belief that the nasty mixture contains laxatives. I always felt that this was highly inappropriate and falls into the category of public shaming, which is common for Robbins. Yeah, again, if you shame someone down to a point, you're kind of pointing out why they can be shamed. And then bring them up from that. At least that's what I would say to get money. Two more former insiders. Does he have people sign a non-disclaimer? Holy shit. Get a few NDAs out there, you dummy. Said that they also witnessed fans being given drinks at other Robbins events when they were told they would have the health benefits, but made many people sick. Oh, participants with throwing up all over the place. A public restroom. Hotel rooms. Was this in the Dominican Republic? Maybe it had nothing to do with it. Said Gary King, Robbins' former director of security. Pickle juice, apple juice, lemon juice, tomato juice, and a dash of Tabasco. That's what they say. The lawyer says was in it and made him drink that. Sounds terrible, but again, the guys are paying. They're signing all kinds of disclaimers. And then he does whatever the fuck he does. That's how it works. Do we have that video, speaking of puking, of the woman puke fighting? I didn't see this yet. I've heard about it. E-Rock told me about it. It was played on the earlier show today. What, In Hot Water, I bet, right?
No, Would You Kindly.
Would You Kindly? I didn't know. Okay, Would You Kindly. The E-Rock vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Here we go. Now they're fighting. This girl realizes she's getting sick and uses it as a weapon. Look, look, she's puking. It's Patricia from Munaki. Holy shit. Oh, man. She slipped in her own puke. You're wasting good ammunition. She's fighting like it's 28 days later. Puke fight. Oh, you fucking bitch. That was a great shot. The guy's like, don't hit me. I'm covered in puke at this point. Have some fucking sympathy. Wow. What a cunt. Yeah, one more time. Look at it. She hits this guy directly in the face. It's awesome. Look at this. All right, get him. Here it comes. Ah! Good for her. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for joining us for another fun-filled week here at Compound Media for the Anthony Cumia Show. Don't you forget now, tomorrow, Legion of Skanks, Skankfest. I will be doing the show with Will Noonan at 2 p.m., so join us there, won't you? And then also don't forget the Comedians of the Compound at Governor's Friday, June 28th. That's a week from tomorrow at Governor's Comedy Club. Go to govs.com for tickets and join us. Here are my important things right there. Anthony Cumia CPM on Twitter for just that fucking perfect parody account. And my Twitch over the weekend. I'll be twitching some games. Subscribe to it. You'll get a message when I'm up there playing and yelling at everybody that's much younger than me. Anything else? Let's see. I plugged that. Oh, my good friend Joe Curry. My good pal Joseph T. Curry. He will be performing this evening, opening up for the great Rich Voss at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. So if you're down around there, go see Rich Voss and my good friend Joe Curry. Why I'm a little fuzzy today. Joe Curry. Whenever I hang out with Joe, I have to drink. That's what it is. I want to thank Dave Landau for calling in. He is at the MGM Grand, Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, down there in Vegas. So if you're in Vegas, go see Dave Landau. He's a treat to go see. A lot of things going on. And tomorrow, 2-drink minimum. Some very funny Canadians right here at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time. And that's about that. Have yourselves a dandy of a weekend. I know yours starts tomorrow. Mine starts the second this show ends. Until then, have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday. Arvidazane.